This is a Pinball News production.
It was my pleasure to be in the Gottlieb business for 34 years and to be a partner with my much older brother. Well, just a little bit older brother. And a relationship that was absolutely fantastic over the years. We built more pinball machines at one time. Well, under Judd's watch, we were the world's largest manufacturer of amusement pinball machines. There are tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Gottlieb games around the world that are to this day being enjoyed. And all of you people at the Expo, I appreciate very much your liking of the old pinball machine. I was afraid for years that it would fade into the distance, but because of the interest in Expo and the collectors and the restorers, that the game itself is still alive. The interesting aspect about my being involved in the business is the fact that I've been in it my entire life. I was born in 1927, that's the year Dave Gottlieb incorporated D. Gottlieb & Company. And in 1927, he moved his family to Chicago to build a little penny-operated grip testing machine. And the reason he came up here was because this was the center of tool and die shops that made the parts he needed. As a quick side anecdote, I once asked him, you had a penny-operated grip scale, why did it have such a large coin chute on it? He said, Alvin, that was at the depth of the Depression. He said, we would take anything, nickels, dimes, quarters, streetcar tokens, telephone tokens, anything of value that they put in those games. And the game business started from that, and in the 30s, they acquired the rights to build Baffle Ball, which became a part of history. And on through the years, as I said, I feel that my induction into the Pinball Hall of Fame is I bring with me the memories of many, many people throughout the course of the industry that brought it to the acknowledged position that it was. Going back in antiquity, I have to remark that there were people like Dave Gottlieb, Ray Maloney, Sam Stern, Harry Williams, et cetera, that as young men started the business, their businesses, very young people, and brought them into very prominent success. Another quick aside, when Dave Gottlieb was ailing, his health was failing, but he would come to the factory and sit in his office to be in a comfortable position. And one day, Dave Roccola, of all the people that Dave had been a friend of, Dave Roccola came to the company and sat with my father for over an hour, reminiscing of old times, and believe me, that's something I'll never forget. I have since then had communications with his sons and talked with them about what a wonderful, wonderful person and thoughtful, caring guy he was. I can go on forever with stories about my relationship with my father. It was very interesting. I was the point of many of his barbs. His sense of humor was relentless. At one time he did say to me, Alvin, you know, if I ever paid you what you were worth, you wouldn't work that cheap. And this was the essence of the man. He was sharp, but by the same token, and as Michael had mentioned, there was never a more caring, considerate, helpful person than Dave Gottlieb. I was privileged to know of the many, many, many things that he had done throughout the course of his life in helping people and families. And more or less, I was sworn not to keep repeating these things. He was such a shy person. He just didn't want to acknowledge what he had done. I had the privilege of sitting next to Wayne Nyans at the workbench in the engineering department for 2 years. I also had the pleasure of working with Harry Mabbs, who was the inventor of the flipper. And I keep coming up with these anecdotes. For instance, we were asked why we never patented the flipper. Well, we did make an application for the flipper, but we were told that the flipper is simply an adaptation of the bat on the old baseball game, so it was not accepted. Well, it didn't make a big difference, but when we first put out Humpty Dumpty, it was a minor miracle of change in the business. However, there were naysayers. There were people, operators, who said, oh, this is awful. People are going to play these games forever. We'll never make any money at it. Were they wrong? But it was a pleasure working for our business because Dave Gottlieb had a set of principles. Number one was that there was only one way to run a business, and that was the right way. And in connection with the factory and the personnel, he said, Alvin, take care of your people, and they will take care of you. And that's exactly what happened. All the years, there were people who had started with him in the 20s and late 20s and 30s that remained in the factory for years and years and years. And I make mention of my brother-in-law, Judd, who took over the reins of the company when the elder Gottlieb moved on. And as I said, under his watch, we became the world's largest manufacturer of pinball machines. And as I traveled the world, I have seen games at some of the most peculiar places. I was in a gondola in Venice, paddling along a canal, and a gondola came up out of a corner with a Gottlieb wood-riddled pinball machine on it. I was wandering through a little town in Greece, and I heard the whine of a dynamo motor running, and I couldn't quite figure it out. It was a very neighborhood that was not very well kept up, and I crept into a corner, and there was a Gottlieb pinball machine being run off of a dynamo motor, and with rotten language as I was, I find out that because they only had one source of electricity, it was 160 volts, 25 cycles. Well, Gottlieb Games would go up in smoke with that. And they had managed to get this dynamo motor contraption, which put out 120 volts, and there they were, putting whatever their coin was in the machine and enjoying it very much. You know, as I stand here, I keep thinking what a great thing it is to have so many people still enjoying the pinball machines. And I saw the film of Gary Stern and his factory, and unfortunately I don't see Gary here. And I've said, Michael says he's busy building pinball machines. And I'm very pleased that the game business is still alive and still functioning. And as I mentioned earlier, so happy to be here, happy to be anywhere. At my age, I had a hip replacement. May 18th, got a big hunk of titanium in here, bionic hip. If I think wrong is when I kick, I change the channel on the TV, so. You see, still have a sense of humor. That's the key to our business. We have been and we are in the entertainment business. Dave Gottlieb likened the small pinball machines to the average guys able to enjoy being entertained for a few cents. And as the years went on, the nickel games, again, remained to be kind of like the average guy entertainment. Of course, Dave Gottlieb had a sharp comment about saloons. So many of the little marble tables were operated on the counter of saloons way back when. And he says, you know, when you drink in a saloon, you're a bum. He said, but when you drink in a country club, you're a sport. And in those days, for a nickel, you bought a beer and got a hard-boiled egg. And for another nickel, you got a sandwich. And for a few pennies, you could play the pinball machine. And here we are today, and as I say, I was celebrating my entrance into the Pinball Hall of Fame. As I say, it brings with me memories of all those people in the past. And I want to thank everyone for being here, everybody, for the presentation. I'm very, very thankful. I have one final anecdote. And this took place many years ago when David and Dorothy Gottlieb were in the car driving downtown to a charitable fundraising event at which Dave Gottlieb was to be the main speaker. And Dave Gottlieb turned to his wife and said, "Dorothy, what do you think I should talk about?" And she said, "Dave, talk about 2 minutes and sit down."